Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, somebody at the Premier League cocked up, did they not? When is a deadline not a deadline? When the deadline passes and you are still able to make changes even a few minutes after the deadline, someone's in trouble, aren't they?
Probably, yeah.
Sack the intern, I think I tweeted at the time.
Is that like, what you said?
Someone at the Premier League is in trouble.
Oh dear, oh dear. It actually was carnage, wasn't it?
Like, it was
absolute
bad.
Absolute carnage.
It was bad.
And the thing is, it was a little bit like the Champions League game. Obviously, the deadline is the kickoff of the ball. So
yeah.
It was a little bit like that because everyone was kind of going, if I make a transfer now, will it be allowed? What will happen?
And did you see somebody change their assistant manager?
Yes.
From, I can't remember who from, but to Glasner.
From Slot, I think.
From Slot to Glasner, which then meant that Sean. Sean then went to number one in FPL on the back of it. I'm like, oh, she's
thankfully
awkward.
Not
this
there anymore because that would have.
Oh, is he not?
No.
Okay.
He's not there anymore. And I'm quite pleased about that because, to be honest, like, I get it. Like,
that's a bad one, wasn't it?
But, yeah, like, part of me is like, gosh. And it's hard, right? Because what do they actually do? Do they? They can't do anything, can they?
It's just a cock. It's just a cock up.
You can't roll it back to what
it
was at 6:30.
Because that'll upset more people.
You know, because then what are you doing with those transfers that they made? You can't reverse it. Are they just locking it in for the week? It's so complex.
Yeah. I think on the whole they've largely got away with it. But someone's having a talking to.
Honestly, it was weird though when I was looking at it because the Patreon community went absolutely mad, didn't it? Because we were actually at the gym. On Friday night, we'd gone to we were at the gym with the kids, and I was like, "What is going on in the Slack?" And they were just mad. It was bing, 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 and I was like, "Oh,
crazy, wasn't it? Crazy." So someone's getting fired Monday morning, but that person is not Sam Ange Postecoglou because that is now three wins back to back.
I'm loving Big Ange instead.
Three wins back to back. A Spurs back? Are you? Is this
Listen,
it?
Right. I want everyone out there. All of those of you in the Slack kept asking me, is it time for Poch? Where have I gone? For Postecoglou to be sacked. And I kept saying, no, no, no. You see, when the players aren't injured, we don't have an issue.
Do you know what? You told me something over the weekend that I wasn't aware of, is that a few weeks back or a couple of months back, Spurs sacked the entire medical staff and hired brand new medical staff.
Yeah. A few weeks ago.
That's got to be a turning point, isn't it? Because I said to you, well, listen,
you're winding me up in the car again.
No, stop. It wasn't a wind up. This was as a person that's not as close to Spurs as you are and didn't know about the change in medical staff, I'm sitting there going, well, he's learned his lesson. Because one of the things he said before the game at the weekend, before the Ipswich game, when he was asked about his team selection was, he said something like, this is Ange Postecoglou, said, we've got to look after players. We need to make sure there's some minutes in some legs of players coming back. We've got to be careful about... And I'm just like, oh, well, whatever. What happened to... It's just who we are, mate. That's how we play. And I'm flogging them to death. As an outsider looking in, I'm going, he's changed. He's obviously figured out that what he was doing was wrong and he's adapting, finally, to the Premier League. But then you tell me that the medical staff have all been completely binned and they've got a whole new
they've
one.
Got a whole
that
new
to
medical
me
stuff.
Suggests that he was being poorly...
He was being poorly told.
Consulted, if that's the right phrase. Yeah, he's leaning into his medical staff to give him the right information. They were obviously cocking it right up from left, right and centre.
I think
now he's got a new bunch.
I think there was a lot of, from what I can understand, I think there was a lot of pressure from the players to want to be back. A lot of frustration amongst the players saying to the medical staff, but I'm fit. And them going... Oh, right then.
Yeah, you can
Ange going to them and going, well, is he fit? And them going, yes. And then what happens with Mickey van der Ven, I think, was the iceberg, really, the tip of it.
Yeah.
Because obviously then we lose them again and it happened with Romero and that Romero injury. He was told it's going to be a couple of weeks. I mean, he's now been out for months with this niggle that he picked up when he first came back. So, yeah, a whole new change of medical personnel at Spurs. Players now coming back and coming back calmly.
Yeah. All right.
And some wins, Lee. Some points.
It's one of the many games, Sam, that we'll talk about this week, this tonight, to the games. The games from the weekend that we'll talk about tonight. Sorry, I'm going to put my teeth in. One of many away wins, actually. Not many home wins, a lot of away wins this weekend. And some games,
some shocks as well.
Actually, didn't turn out the way that I was quite expecting. Not least the Palace game. For those of you that switched the assistant manager tip to Glasner this week, and I sat here last week and said that was probably the bookie's favourite, and if I was going to do it, I think that's what I would have done. You didn't do it. You played it, inverted commas, a little bit safer, saved the transfer and stuck with Emery, which at 8 points is fine. It's fine.
It's one of those I think will always be a little frustrating to me because there were a few managers that I fancied. Glasner was definitely in that conversation.
He's in the conversation, yes.
Definitely in that conversation. Given I was also benching Robinson, I did sort of fancy Palace. Yeah.
And if you stuck it on him, fair play, because there were some safer options. And I didn't think they were going to get a result there, Palace. Now, actually, had I done a bit of bloody research rather than just thinking, oh, Fulham are good at home
and been
a proper FPL manager, I'd have realised that actually Palace away are very, very good and have been for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
So maybe I would have played Munoz and not been a complete prat and third benched him. But if you did have Glasner and or Munoz as well, well done. Well done. Yeah. That's a 30-point swing you've got against me just because I don't do my research.
I think the Glasner thing was the obvious move. I think, for me, the reason I didn't do it is because I was very unsure, as you know, all through this last week, I've been very uneasy about what to do with my transfer.
Yeah.
About
the
whether
assistant manager.
Well, both. Well, I had what? Because I had one transfer. So it was like, well, do I make a player transfer? Do I do an assistant manager transfer? Where am I heading for 29?
Yeah, yeah.
Do I just play it safe with
transfers
Emery?
Transfers are key at the minute.
Transfers
right?
feel so important. And I think in the end, that was why I decided not to do. I wanted to sell Rodgers, but I didn't really know where I'd go. I wanted to sell Diaz, but the Gakpo injury made me question whether I should do that or not. And I was so torn. And then I thought, well, maybe the move is to just do the manager. But then in reality, with Van den Berg having picked up an injury that's going to leave him doubtful right up until game week 29.
Oh, is he one you're counting on for 29?
So he's a cat. Like, yeah. So he was one of the ones I need to play. Now, he is due back just before 29. Like, I mean, literally the weekend of. But you know what injuries are like. They don't necessarily go to plan. So in my head, I was thinking, well, I need the three transfers to just get me to that. But if Van den Berg is then out, I need all four. Then I'm talking about hits. And I thought, well, can I see Glasner? Yes, all right. It still would have been the right thing to take a -4 for Glasner because he got 8 points over Emery.
Yep.
So it would have still been the right decision to do that. But I just didn't feel
comfy. Absolutely. There was a lot of assistant manager talk, well, here last Sunday and throughout the week on the Slack and in all the podcasts about, well, not really sure where to go to.
Pereira again was great.
Well, I think a lot. And tell us if you're one of these guys, then you know, welcome along. We'd love to hear you. Have to hear how you felt when this happened. But a lot were going to play safe and go Arteta.
Well,
a lot.
So Max, who was winning it before this game week, he did that.
Absolutely.
He did swap to Arteta, play it safe, pick up the points, and then obviously gets naught.
Yeah, but I think if you did over the 3 weeks, if you've done Moyes, Emery, Glasner.
Yeah, or Pereira.
You've done very well indeed. That's 50 to 60 points, isn't it? Is that 56 points?
Would be,
points,
what,
like
20, 14
very
and
good.
20. Or 22, 14 and 20. So yeah, very, very
if
good.
If you're in that position, well played, people. Well played. Very, very good indeed. I, for one, am very pleased that we can now stop talking about it for a few weeks.
We can't. I worked out. There's still 1.3 million assistant managerships active right now.
Yeah, okay. But it doesn't feel like that's... It feels to me like the majority of engaged content creating as well community played it in the 3 weeks that you played it. I think there's some others that there'll be many that played it in game week 25 because they saw it being played in 24 and went, oh, what's that? I'll play that.
Well, a lot of people had the triple captain in 24 and then went straight into assistant manager in 25.
That as well, right? That as well. But
so
I'm not worried about
currently,
that.
There's 1.3 million active. That includes the ones that played it in 25,
okay,
that played it in 26, and there's about 150,000 of them active for 27.
All right, well, whatever. I'm not interested. I'm not bothered about them people. I'm bothered about the three that have played it, 24, 25, 26. That feels like the majority of engaged managers. If you did the trifecta that we just mentioned and got the 56-odd points, well done. I am buzzing to get back to game weeks where I got a half a chance of getting a green arrow. I've had three reds in a row. I'm sick of it. I'm ready to get back to normal FPL. I really am. So let's get on with some of the games, Sam, and let's say hello to a few people. Joseph Maloney, thank you for the super chat, mate. Hi, Sam and Lee. Hi, mate. Great result against City today. Come on. Salah is on some impressive... Right, you could say that, mate. You could call it impressive. Others would say absolutely goated, the best thing we've ever seen in the Premier League. A score of 76, but the Reds this week and two free transfers going into 27. Joseph, your position is very similar to me, mate. A bit of a meh FPL week, but I'm not letting the ass man or any of that crap get me down because the Reds were absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. What?
Have you accepted it now?
What? That it's just the manager needs to get in the bin?
No.
What? The title?
That it's yours.
Nah, come on. We're not. No. No, Lee. We're not saying that. But it's looking please. Good. We're in a good position.
What's the most Arsenal can get? How many points? 89?
89, I think, yeah. 89. So, 7 or 8 wins, I think they're saying about is what we need from 11.
Lee, when did I start telling you? August. August. In fact, I think it was when...
August? Bloody kicked off in August.
That's when I started telling you I thought it was yours.
What, after game week one?
Before that, I said I thought Slot was going to be the making of you. I thought it was going to be yours. I think you'll find it when we open our envelope.
Oh,
I've put
no
Liverpool
spoilers.
To win the league.
No
I
spoilers.
Think, I think I did.
Goodness me. All right.
Honestly, and now I think you've got to start accepting it, Lee.
Well, listen.
Have we got to try and like get some tickets?
For what?
Game week 38. Have we got to try and find a way to be at Anfield?
Oh, God, you're the one in the know. Go on then. Sort that out for us.
I'll just magic them up, shall
you're
I?
You're the one in bed with a Premier League.
Abracadabra, here's some tickets.
You say you normally work.
Yes, how do you mean that's how I normally work?
No doubt. No doubt it was a good weekend. Our three nearest rivals all picked up 0 points and we got the three.
We got 3 points. We're chasing you down.
I wouldn't put you in the nearest rivals category, Sam. I wouldn't. But if you finish top half, well done.
We're going to win the Europa League.
Joseph, thank you for the super chat, mate. Much appreciated. I think I'm in very similar boat to you. We've had a member chat. Thank you, Simon MB. Simon, we haven't seen you for a few weeks, mate. So very nice to have you back in here and moderating. But we needed you last week.
Wait, stop.
Need you last week.
Stop.
What?
We have to say congratulations to Si.
Do we?
Si got engaged.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Congratulations, Simon. I didn't know that.
Where have you been?
Was it in the Slack?
Yes.
Was it?
Get, for God's sake, man. I can't be your PA.
I only go in the Slack when Liverpool win. Which is every week.
I can't be your PA and tell you about everything that's going on.
Congratulations, Simon. Very, very good
at least
indeed.
I'm here,
well
si.
Done, mate. Well done. 35 months, he says, with the fam. Been around for been a member on the channel here for 35 months. And if you want to join him, click the little join button next to subscribe. Why not? It's been a pleasure to be part of the journey with you all. Simon, it's a pleasure talking to you every single week, mate. And we needed you last week. We had a lot of bots in here last week saying all sorts of crap. So, yes, anybody botting or any nonsense that comes in, I'm sure Simon's there cracking the whip in the chat this evening. Kingdom FC is here. Very nice to see you. Kingdom FC says, can someone please clip that? I can't be your PA. Very good. Yeah, it's a good one. I like that. Duncan Crawford is in. We've got Andrew Eames. Thank you guys for joining us here on FPL Family. B is in.
Hey, B!
I've noticed B's profile, both here on a Sunday night and in the Slack, crept up last few weeks. I wonder why.
Because fans are winning again.
You bloody fair weather
B,
Spurs,
are you going to be there on Wednesday? If you are, let me know. We'll come for a cuddle.
Oh, dear. Right. What, with B or with the baby?
The baby won't be there with B. She's not going to take the baby to the Man City game.
Matthew Lewis, nice to see you, mate. Daniel Banks, George Day is in as usual. Hey, George. Andrew is in. Henry, we've got Adam Chopping, one of our new patrons. More on Adam's very, very good last couple of weeks in the Manager of the Month competition a bit later when we do an update on that. Mr. T. Tendai is here. We've got Torben Nilsson, Wayne Lavelle, Scott Traeger, the OG, and a whole host of you in this evening. A whole host of you. Oh, and FPL Harry's here. Hello, FPL Harry.
Oh, back from skiing.
Back from the skiing. He hasn't let a little thing like a skiing holiday get in the way of him smash it in an FPL, though.
No, but he does have to. He also needs a PA. He forgets about off the bench, so I have to stand in. Can't be your PA either.
Very good. So there we go, guys. That is the hellos said to, Sam. Let's get to the...
Is it hot in here, or is it me?
No, it's quite warm. It's gone up a couple of degrees. In the UK, isn't it? And it's just like a little bit warmer now.
Thinking about if I'm wearing anything appropriate enough to take my jumper off. We're 5 minutes in and I'm boiling.
Right, that's us demonetized. Well done.
What?
Are you looking down your top and all sorts?
I'm just trying to decide whether my top
bloody
underneath
OnlyFans, is it?
Was a...
God, Jesus. Right, let's get on with the games.
I didn't say it was OnlyFans, did I? why?
Oh, there's the demonetization gone on the YouTube.
I was literally just deciding whether my top underneath is appropriate enough to take off my top.
That's gone. Another week on the breadline. Here we go. Right, let's talk about... I'm in a funny mood tonight. I think we're going to win the league. I'm in a funny mood.
Oh, my life.
Right. George just says, bloody hell, FPL family's changed. Yeah,
George, I'm just trying to decide whether the top... Oh, never mind. Forget it.
No doubt.
It is so hot in this room.
It is warm. There's a lot of hot air going on in here. That's why.
It's mostly you lot.
I don't even care. Let's just go. Man City 0, Liverpool 2. We rarely start with Liverpool because I'm so... bloody humble about my football team all the time. What? But we are tonight going to unashamedly start
Man
City 0, Liverpool 2. Is it going to come to Anfield?
Listen to me. Your mood lately is like a yo-yo. So I'll give you an insight into
me. Bloody assistant manager takes me down.
No, forget just football. Let's forget FPL for a second.
Yes.
Let's reverse back to Wednesday evening for a moment.
Wednesday evening, okay. Villa.
Yeah, we've had a lovely afternoon. I took the kids into London. We did loads of lovely stuff. Lee met us after work. Lovely. We've had dinner. We get back for the Liverpool game. I said, "Don't worry, darling. I'll put the kids to bed whilst you watch the game."
Yeah.
It's like colourful. Let's describe it as colourful.
There was some language against it.
Downstairs.
I do apologise.
I'm upstairs.
For that, yeah.
I'm cleaning up. The kids are cleaning their teeth and put them to bed. I come downstairs. He's ranting. We're only about 20 minutes in, and he's ranting. And his mood is like this the whole way through. By the end of the game, you're raging.
Well,
I think that's
Darwin
fair.
Darwin Nunes did miss an open goal to win the game 3-2. I mean,
do you want to do the noise again?
I don't want to do the noise again. No, I did that for the patrons on first.
Heard
I'm not
the
doing
noise
that again.
A cushion flew across the room.
Yeah,
he was. You were very upset. Fast forward to today. You weren't even stressed during the game. Like, why was it so different? Because in my mind, if you're going to be stressed in a game, the game against Man City would be at the beginning of the game, you'd feel more angsty about it than you were today.
I think today, and you're right, by the way, it has been a bit up and down. And we, last couple of weeks, we've dropped points to Villa. We've dropped points to
Everton.
So the door was kind of ajar a little bit for someone like an Arsenal to come in and win their games.
Oh, was it because Arsenal lost yesterday?
So because Arsenal lost yesterday, and I think this sort of translated into the players a little bit, was there was an air of calm about the way we played today.
There was a calm about
and
you.
The game plan was executed. I said this in the Slack. The game plan, I thought, was executed absolutely perfectly by Liverpool. Now, I don't know if Haaland plays. Maybe it's different. Maybe the tactic is different.
Mm.
But we basically just played the box midfield. Curtis sort of coming in, playing left, but sort of naturally coming in and flooding that central midfield meant that we forced them wide. And we did get into some positions where, like, I don't know how many take-ons Doku did against Trent, but Doku beat Trent, like, every time.
A lot.
Like, every time. But what we trusted was that Konate or Van Dijk, and usually Konate because he's on that side, would be in the right position to stop the cross because Doku is never going to loft it, right? Doku gets to the byline and cuts it. And he had to do that even more so today because of no Haaland.
Hmm.
So if he does that every single time, it's predictable. It's easy to defend against. Now, on the other side, Robbo had to play very well against Savino. But what was also part of the game plan today was actually Diaz and Salah were coming back. You know, I noticed them doing more defensive work than usual. Diaz, my God, that guy puts in so much work. And then if you look in the middle of the park, Szoboszlai as well. Like, it looked really calm and, like, low intensity today. But
he was dead on his feet by the end of the game, Dom.
Szoboszlai is
lying on the pitch half dead.
And he is an unbelievable player. He's an unbelievable player. And Sky put a stat on the screen about how many counter presses all the players in the league have made. And he's like in the top five. Kulusevski number one, by the way. Number one.
That's because that ginger from Sweden.
But he's another one. The engine on these players is unbelievable.
Man.
And Szoboszlai is exactly the same, right? He's all out action. I just love him. And I thought the way that we set up today, the way that we played was brilliant. You're a Diaz owner. I'm a Gakpo owner.
Mm.
I don't think either of us are thinking of selling Trent or Salah before the two home games that we've got next. Let me just remind myself of the two home games. It's definitely Newcastle and then it's Southampton, right? So two decent looking home games before then the blank in 29. I don't think I'm going to sell either of those two. But what about Gakpo and Diaz? How do you feel about Diaz now? Because he's played a lot of that game today.
Yeah, so I said to you immediately after the game, that's it. He's gone. He's gone. And
you're gonna sell him?
I was going to sell him this week. And then I kind of talked myself into keeping him because City's defence hasn't been great and Gakpo was injured and I thought, well, we're probably going to get the start and Jota clearly isn't fit enough to be playing multiple games in a week, so Diaz is going to have to. My big concern here now is that Gakpo's back because he comes on for a little bit at the end of that game. Now, whether he's fit enough to do 60 minutes in midweek, we're about to find out.
Yeah.
But Jota's had a full rest, so you'd expect him to start on Wednesday evening against Newcastle. So I'm looking at Diaz and thinking, well, are you now going to be rested for this one? I mean, you did get a rest against Aston Villa in midweek. Mm. So is he likely to rest you twice? Is it more likely that Gakpo maybe comes on for 30 minutes and he does it that way? I don't know.
Notice that Jota doesn't get on the pitch at all today.
No, full rest.
And that to me suggests you're going to play.
He's going to play
against
him.
Newcastle.
For sure.
I think.
And then you, like Spurs, have gotten a weekend off because it's the FA Cup.
Yeah.
So we've got the weekend off and then we go. So actually for you and I, it's a nice big rest gap. Now we will have Champions League and all of that kicking back off again, but you do have a rest at the weekend. So I think I am a little bit concerned about Diaz's minutes in midweek because I do expect Jota to get the start. I don't expect Darwin ever to kick a football again. So Jota up top with Salah for sure because, you know, inevitable. So who's getting the start on the other side? Is it Gakpo? Is it Diaz?
Does he play Curtis there again because of the way that we control the game when he plays there?
But do you need to control the game in the same way? I mean, you certainly don't against Southampton. Maybe you do against Newcastle, but I think even today proved that Newcastle are vulnerable defensively.
Well, what was interesting about the... And we'll do the Newcastle Forest game in a bit, but there was a lot of space in behind their fullbacks.
Yeah, there
Newcastle,
was.
And Forest did a really good job of exploiting it.
Particularly in the second half.
Looked a bit vulnerable themselves at the back, didn't they? Although there was that hint of fortune about some of the Newcastle goals. But, I mean, the Isak penalty, for example, he's a very lucky boy there to score that. Mm. And then I think it was one of the other goals gets a bit of a deflection, doesn't it? So a hint of fortune. I'm not taking anything away from Newcastle because to score four past that Forest defence takes some doing in any given game week.
Yeah.
But that's just what gives me pause for thought a little bit as a Gakpo owner, and I think it should for you as a Diaz owner, is that I think there's joy for Liverpool, and that's why I, you know, we'll do captaincy towards the end. But I've had the captaincy on Palmer, I think, up until a couple of days ago. It's Southampton. They're playing Southampton.
I don't care.
But I moved it to Mo.
I could not care less. You could not pay me to captain Palmer this week. Have you seen how bad he is at the moment? And I mean that with the greatest Chelsea, respect. They are awful at the moment. Without Nico, like, say what you want about Nico Jackson, but he is missing. And they are missing him. And so you couldn't pay me to move it there. There are some other matches that I might consider going to.
Oh, we'll do that. We'll do that later, Captain C. We'll do that later.
But I think for me, Luis Diaz is difficult. I just think that there were some really nice options that I could go to this week that have a good run of fixtures. And all right, I'd miss the Southampton game. That's the one I'm more bothered about.
Mm.
But I'm not sure he's guaranteed to play in that Southampton game anyway, around the PSG Champions League game as well.
Because the PSG two legs are either side of the Southampton game, aren't they?
Yes.
So that's a tricky one.
So for Spurs and Liverpool, obviously we have the midweek round where you've got Newcastle, we've got City. Then we get the weekend off. Then we're into Europa League Champions League. Then we have our 28 fixture, then it's Southampton, then you've got the cup final.
Yep.
So in terms of Diaz, I have to think really carefully about what slot is going to do, because those PSG matches, very, very important.
Where would you go? There's a name that's cropping up in the live chat a couple of times, but I'll let you guess who you think it might be. But where are you thinking of going?
Jarrod Bowen.
That is the name. That is the name.
Two 10-pointers in the last 3 weeks since coming back from injury.
And the West Ham fixtures, they don't look too bad particularly. You know, that is as blue as it gets at the minute. Leicester at home and then Newcastle. All right, away Everton in 29. Not the easiest fixture, the form that Moyes has got them playing in, but it's still a fixture and it's still only Everton. So I don't mind that at all.
And then I'm wildcarding anyway.
I don't mind it at all.
I am quite... And also, I have now got an extra 0.8 million back from Emery.
Oh, your Aston Man money's coming back, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
So suddenly I'm in the money. I got some money to flirt about with. So Morgan Rogers and Luis Diaz both on the chopping board for me this week. I should have got rid of Morgan Rogers last week. I just couldn't bring myself to do it against Chelsea. I'm definitely getting rid of him now. I've had enough. But Luis Diaz, it will be a reluctant sell.
Yeah, of course.
But nonetheless. With two home games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but nonetheless, I think I have to, given the fixtures are sandwiched between some such important games for Liverpool in terms of the Champions League and the League Cup final. So, yeah.
It's big, that, isn't it? It's big that the Southampton game falls between the two legs of the Champions League. Because we're all sitting there going, yep, Newcastle, Southampton at home, keep, definitely, and then sell them for 29. But it's difficult, you know?
I just don't know what kind of team you're going to put out against Southampton.
Mm. Yeah. All right, well, that's Liverpool. A quick word on City then.
City, I think we do have to have a quick word about, because come game week 29, when we're all looking for investment,
Brighton at home?
They've got a decent fixture. That's where most people would probably look for the captain's armband, because Chelsea and Arsenal play each other. But with Haaland missing entirely today, I thought that was really interesting. So why is he on the bench for the Champions League game? We're told that the scan shows nothing, but he's having trouble. He's having pain when walking.
Yeah.
And then today misses out altogether, not even on the bench.
Mm.
That's interesting for me. Marmoush is probably the one that we're going to. But to be honest, I wasn't seeing a lot from Man City today that made me think...
No, but that's because of the way we played and the way we shut down. That was our game plan to play like that.
I totally understand that. And what I'm about to say, I don't mean to take anything away from the Liverpool performance at all. But even over the last few weeks, even in the game against Newcastle, I still haven't seen a lot. Like, Marmoush has a really good period of that game against Newcastle where he plays incredibly well and he obviously picks up his hat-trick and everything looks rosy again in the Man City garden. But in reality, their performance against Real Madrid in the Champions League, which sees them get knocked out, their performance against you today, their performance in previous weeks hasn't really made me think, yes, I really must, that's the one.
They've had a difficult week, but in that week, they've played arguably the two best teams in the world right now, in us and Real Madrid. You can't read too much into that. They're going to go to Spurs, and Spurs are going to do what Spurs do and attack and play a reasonably high line, even without Mickey van der Ven. Marmoush could exploit that, right? The question mark I'd have about City is not about his ability to get in behind. It's about who's going to pick the pass to play him in. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
Because I don't... De Bruyne was well off it today, wasn't he? It's almost a bit sad to see him go off after 65 minutes.
He was rested.
Right?
When Pep was asked about him in the Champions League, he said... Somebody asked him, was it tactical or was it injury based? And he said, no, it was a tactical decision not to play De Bruyne today. And I thought, oh, that's interesting against Real Madrid. But then today, his performance, I could maybe understand why.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, City are on radar. And
they have to be.
Given that game week 30, they play Leicester at home, someone's going to feature in our wild cards, aren't they? And I'm pretty sure it's going to be Marmoush. I can't see too many FPL managers going all out for Haaland. But listen, 2-0 to Liverpool. Very, very pleased as a Liverpool fan to get that one done. That is the shot in the arm, the boost that we needed after the results went our way yesterday. Really, really good. Speaking of which, Arsenal 0, West Ham 1. I've got so many thoughts about this game, but go on. What did you think? You obviously like Bowen's performance, right? And West Ham. I mean, they didn't really create a lot, but what they did create, they took their chance.
And the thing is, I just like... When I'm looking for an FPL player, what I really want is the one that's going to be leading the line for a team. They're kind of the talisman. You know, they're always going to start, but also the one that's up there and always going to be involved in the goals. And you have that with Bowen. Right?
Yeah.
He is absolutely that for West Ham. Did I see this result coming? Well, clearly not. I played my Arsenal double defence.
Mm.
However...
I bought in Ethan Wanyeri. I had treble Arsenal for this.
See, the Wanyeri thing I think is really interesting because in so many ways I get it. He's so cheap. It's perfect as a fifth midfielder option. I still haven't ruled out doing it myself, given that it's a nice price point. If I want to take Luis Diaz up significantly, I could bring Morgan Rogers down. It would help. Like, all of that stuff is still in my on my radar. My issue with Arsenal right now is, without Havertz and Saka, the creativity has just dried up massively. And I understand that, you know, Sterling was woeful last week. So he tries the Moreno thing up top again, but it didn't work this week.
It's not, that's not his position.
Because that's not his position. But moving forward and into the midweek round, and even further forward than that, into game weeks 28 and 29, with the Champions League as well for Arsenal coming back in, that front three is going to be worked tirelessly.
Yeah.
Because they don't have anyone else.
There's not enough goals in it. Full stop. There's not enough goals in it. I mean, and actually, the fact that there's a few senior players missing, it's and Spurs have suffered from this, right? You're leaving the young players out to dry a little bit,
yeah, you
right?
Are, yeah.
You're asking your Wanieris and your Lewis Skellies, who second red card of the season, gets sent off today.
Petulant, told you that
or
before.
Yesterday. You're asking a lot of those players, and you need to bring those players in at a time when your team's there and your senior leadership can kind of bring them along, and
they have no choice.
To do it, right?
They have to do it, right?
Yeah.
And it's been the same with Spurs, and I get it, right? You have no choice. You have to bed the kids in. You have to trust them. But that front three, the Wanyeri, Trossard, and then whoever else it is, Sterling, Moreno, whoever, it's just not got a load of goals in it. And so I think with Arsenal over the next few weeks, they're going to be reliant on being defensively solid and scoring one here or there. Mm. I think that's the way it's going to be, which is what's
Stink
put me
up.
Off. Yeah, which is what's yep. put me off the Wanyeri pit a little bit. Now, what I will say is that actually that goal that West Ham scored, it's not like they looked like they were going to score loads of other goals.
No, absolutely not.
Defensively, Arsenal, with the exception of that goal, did do a good job. Like, the defence was good. So I'm not worried at all about my Arsenal double defence. I just really struggle with how I would... Like, Wanyeri, I'd do it for budget purposes, but not necessarily because I think Arsenal are going to score loads of goals.
Yeah, all right. Have you seen the video of Raya outpacing James Ward-Prowse in the 96th minute?
No.
Raya goes up for a corner last minute.
Does he?
And it kind of, there's a bit of ping pong in the penalty area, in the West Ham penalty area, and it gets cleared. And James Ward-Prowse is cooked. He's done. His career's finished because he gets absolutely roasted in a foot race by David Raya.
Why does Ward-Prowse just not hit it at the goal from distance then?
Well, because he's not on the ball. The ball gets
cleared. Oh, I see.
And it's a foot race between Ward-Prowse, who's got then a goal to shoot at, and David Raya.
Oh, for
and
the
Raya
ball?
And Raya outpaces him for the ball. Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I've got to watch that.
Video. Yeah, it's a brilliant video.
Well, maybe they should put Raya up top then.
He might be quick. I don't know about his finishing. But either way, yeah, I think whatever Arsenal you've got now, you kind of stick with it, right? So the Arsenal fixtures read like this. It's Forest up next, which that is not easy, by the way.
No, but...
That is not easy.
But
Forest will fancy that massively.
They will, but also Forest are a bit odd at the moment with their performances. Like today, first half, not great. Second half, they were great. Probably deserved to get something out of the game at Newcastle.
No,
but
I don't think they were great. I thought Newcastle took their foot off the gas.
Well, but that anyway, might be true. That
Forest
might be true.
And then Man United and then Chelsea at home in 29, which actually on paper doesn't look too bad. It's, you know, and then the fixtures from 30 onwards. I mean, for those wildcarding, you can have whatever Arsenal you want, right?
But when is Saka due back?
I don't know. But these next two for Arsenal look pretty key. I think if they don't get 6 points out of that, I think it's game over for them, isn't it?
It's game over anyway. Everyone else is in a fight for the next three slots, the Champions League slots.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, I fancy Forest for that game during the week, I have to say. But West Ham, no, on radar, but I think it's just Jarrod Bowen. Any love for Kudus? Would you go for Kudus? He looked properly ex-lively without getting any FPL points, didn't he?
I really like him as a player. But from an FPL perspective, I'd just rather have Bowen.
Is he a bit more affordable than Bowen? I haven't really checked the prices.
He's cheaper, but...
Is he a bit cheaper?
But Bowen's not exactly expensive.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, that's Arsenal. The other team to drop points in the title race was, of course, the aforementioned Nottingham Forest. Newcastle 4, Forest 3. You mentioned it there, you know, Forest are a bit up and down. Their form has been a bit up and down recently. What do you put that down to? Is this a bit of... late season lethargy for Nuno Espirito Santo? Is this because there hasn't been a massive amount of kind of squad rotation there? They have stuck to largely the same 11, or was this just Newcastle asserting their authority after going 1-0 down?
But I think there is a slight, well, there's two things, isn't there? One is that they haven't really rotated their squad, and we are now 26 weeks into the season. They've obviously gone, they're in the FA Cup still, so that's extra fixtures. They haven't got Europe or anything like that, but they have got a relatively small squad. So it's not like they've got loads of additional players that they can rotate to, and they have relied on them heavily over the course of the season so far. I think Newcastle, having got bashed by Man City last weekend, then
needed a response,
particularly at St James's Park today. So when they go 1-0 down, I think that was almost a catalyst for, oh God, right, come
on. Pope back in goal. Dubravka's done quite well recently. He puts Pope back in goal, and then I don't think he covers himself in a lot of glory with the opener from Hudson-Odoi. Do you?
I don't think he does either. And then I don't think he covers himself in glory for most of the second half either, to be honest. There was a number of opportunities that Forrest had during that second half. Look, I think from a Nottingham Forest perspective, I've got two. I've got Chris Wood, obviously, who picks up an assist, which, you know, just regularly ticks over the points. Thanks, Chris. You're great. And then I've got Anthony Langa, who I'm just regularly benching at the moment. He just sits there on the bench, and I'll play him in game week 29. That is the current plan for him.
You're lucky to get away with that bench. In third for XG underachievers, Alanga, with a delta of 0.76 according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area, which we use every week here on FPL Family. So three goals, a high XG for Alanga, but no FPL points.
And that's happened a few times, to be fair. But yeah, I think having him for 29 feels like a sensible thing. Would I probably won't keep him on wildcard, though. That'll be one of those slots that on wildcard he'll disappear off. And to be honest, had he not had a fixture in 29, he probably would have been the player that I sold heading into this week. But given the fixture in 29 and the fact that Luis Diaz and Morgan Rogers don't have fixtures, then he'll definitely be staying, because playing the double Nottingham Forest in 29 actually will be really nice.
Arsenal and Man City up next for Forest, which on paper looks obviously very, very difficult, but I fancy him for both of those, don't you?
Well, the thing is that I've got...
be rocking the City ground, won't it?
Yeah, it will. But the thing is, I've always obviously going to play Chris Wood in each of those matches. And playing the double up always feels a little bit much. I mean, maybe...
Differential, though. Everyone's got Wood. It's just like...
Yeah, but maybe...
Wood's not going to give you any advantage, right? As we saw
week. I'm realistically, Lee, let's be realistic. I'm not going to play Anthony Elanga and Chris Wood against my double Arsenal defence.
Okay. Well, drop Gabriel then. I'll drop Timber. Who are you playing? You got to play Raya because he's your keeper. Don't play Timber then.
Oh, but I've just literally sat here and said that apart from that one goal...
Listen, I'm not telling you how to play FPL, but for me, I would not be worried about playing Wood and Elanga. Wood is not a differential anymore. He's an Isak,
Wood,
he's a Salah.
Wood has never been a differential since I've owned him. I'm not playing Elanga in definitely not against Arsenal. I might consider it against Man City.
All right, okay. He'd be definitely in my team, I think. What else do we want to say about this game from a Newcastle perspective? Isak doing what Isak does, a bit lucky with the penalty. As well as benching Daniel Munoz this week, I also managed to bench Lewis Hall.
I've sold him, though, so don't worry about it.
So in a game where...
How many points have you got on your bench?
Huh?
How many points have you got on your bench?
Oh, loads, yeah.
Munoz and Hall?
Them two, plus Gakpo's one-pointer. So Hall gets the two assists, which I think is right. I see Henry in the chat saying Hall should get three assists. No, he shouldn't.
Because no, it's not intended.
On the second one, it's not his intended. It's not his intended.
He aims it at
destination,
Willock.
Is it right?
It takes a deflection and goes to Murphy. It's not an assist. It can't possibly be an assist.
Yeah, two is absolutely right, and two was enough, frankly. Didn't fancy Newcastle to keep a clean sheet, as it proved in this game, but. He pops up in all sorts of areas, Hall, doesn't he? He doesn't have to get forward. And
he does.
Obviously got the one for the assist for the penalty that hits the guy's hand, right? So, yeah, well done if you've got Hall. But I still think it was the... I still stand by my decision to bench him. I've just got the wrong outcome there. The wrong outcome.
I think I sold him last week. And I plan to... With the full intentions to bring him back in on wildcard in game week 30, ready for their double game week. But, yeah, it is what it is. Look, the reason we picked Hall all those weeks ago is because of his attacking threat. We know he's got this in his locker. Do I think he'll get this much joy against Liverpool? No.
No, maybe not. But third for crosses this game week after Harrison and Damsgaard. Lewis Hall joint third with Lukic from Fulham. So, yep, yeah, got the ball, stuck it in the mixer. That is the story of the Lewis Hall's day today. Let's go. Oh, not that one. Let's go back to here and let's go in here and talk about Ipswich 1, Spurs 4. Yeah, good. Was well impressed with this from Spurs.
Yay!
Brennan back, scoring Brennan goals. Yay! At the back post. Son to Brennan. Did us great in Sleeper Draft of Legends, so we're happy with that. Got them both.
Also got Trent and Alisson.
What are we... Is this just Spurs have got players back and are now not the crisis club, it's Man United? Or is it... What do we put this down to?
Yeah. Spurs have got players back and suddenly we can play football again. No S, Sherlock. Like, I don't understand... why everyone thought that this wasn't the case. Like, all of this, oh, I'm going to go McKenna, assistant manager, because clearly... Like, no. We've had so many players injured. Suddenly the good ones are starting to come... Not all of them, but the good ones are starting to come back. Jed Spence is an actual legend.
Baller. Yeah, man.
The man is a legend. I really like Danso as well. He's coming, he's doing a good job defensively at the back. There's a nice little unit. We even give Porro a rest. Pedro Porro... got a rest. It's a miracle.
Any Spurs player getting a rest is a bit of a miracle.
Udogie come back, played well. We were able to manage the minutes of the players coming back. I was pleased to see Maddison not flogged again in this one. He doesn't start. He comes off the bench. He still gets points. That's really nice. I think the only one that maybe you're a little bit disappointed in is Tell, but even then I thought he had a good performance.
No, I thought he kept the centre-halves well occupied so that Son and Brennan could do their thing.
He did, and he had a really nice relationship, him and Kulusevski, that relationship in that number 9-10 position was really nice. And I think, yeah, right, from an FPL perspective, still nothing for him yet. However... it definitely feels like it's coming and it definitely feels like he's making a big difference. And when Solanke is back also, I do think that will make a big difference. So, yeah, very pleased. Spurs, it's Man City in midweek. Let's see. But you know, you can... The last 3 weeks, we've obviously beaten Brentford away. That was a good result. We at home beat Man United. We've now gone away to Ipswich. Like, three big wins for us in a row.
Who are the three?
Brentford, Man United, and now Ipswich.
Yeah, the Brentford one's good. The other two, I don't.
You've got to beat who's in front of you, Lee.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. There's three wins for Spurs. You're flying. I love it. It's great. And you're back. Brilliant. But I don't want to piss on your chips, but Ipswich were bloody awful here.
Well,
bloody awful. Some of the defending was like Sunday league. It was some of the space they were leaving.
Yeah.
However, if you want to put a spin on that, you could say that that's why I disagree with you. I thought Tell played really well because I thought he was creating
I don't think
the
he didn't
space
play well.
For the others around him. So... yeah, you can only beat what's in front of you, but Ipswich were bloody awful. And I think the Premier League season is starting to catch up with a few of these teams. Ipswich being one of them, Southampton being another, Leicester being another. And they are going to be the three, I think, that go down because they just look cooked already and we're not out of February.
Yeah. But it's good. And I think, you know, the next, obviously this week, midweek, it's Man City. Then we'll get a weekend break. My God.
Yeah.
Then we'll be back into the Europa League again. Obviously, we've got Alkmaar, the away game first. So middle of that week, it will be away to Alkmaar before we then have the home fixture against Bournemouth, which is, that's a difficult game. That'll be a real big test for us. These next three games, Man City, Alkmaar, Bournemouth.
Gets a bit harder.
That's big before Alkmaar again at home and then Fulham.
Fulham away.
So this is a big period of time. So this is the time, I think, where with the fixtures that we have coming up, those next five in the league and in the Europa League will be...
we'll see whether you are back.
We'll see.
Yeah, totally. All right, not going to say anything about Ipswich because they were absolute rubbish. Let's go on to, where else can we go? Let's talk about the Brentford game back on the Friday night. So, after what looked like a reasonably promising start by Leicester, and what I mean by that is about 7 minutes.
Vardy had a chance.
Vardy had like a half chance.
No, I think it was an all right chance. It was a good save by Flecken. And then after that, Leicester might as well have gone home.
Just bad. It's bad, wasn't it? It's bad.
I mean, their heads went totally, didn't it? As soon as Brentford scored the first, it was like they all just looked at each other and went, "Oh, it's done."
Yeah, I don't want to take anything away from Brentford, but yeah, there's a mentality problem at Leicester, isn't there? Where they know they haven't got the fight for for the relegation battle. And I remember we said it in the Slack, right? When Vanny's story comes in, you're like, there's a sharp intake. I remember we sat here and we said, this is sharp intake of breath there, because does he know how to get down and dirty in the trenches and battle out of a relegation scrap?
He knows how to win things.
He doesn't. And it's proving to be the case, because they do not know how to... They've got to win games like this at home to Brentford, and they've got to win them dirty. They've got to win them 1-0.
The thing I would say here is that of all the teams that are at the bottom, the Leicesters, the Ipswich, the Southampton, Leicester's squad is the best. Of those three, it is. Of those three, I would say that Leicester's players are better. They are just not fighting. They've given up. They've given up. Now, all of that aside... That's not a negative on Brentford or anything about how Brentford played. That's just a point, is that sadly, Leicester they start off okay, 7 minutes or so, they're all right, they've had a chance. I'm thinking, all right, maybe.
Yeah.
But go one down and they just collapse. And Brentford actually probably should have gone on to win that game more like 8 or 9. But they just took their feet off the pedal a little bit in the second half. And I don't blame them for that either. But yeah, Leicester are... They feel like they're dead.
The Mbeumo goal in particular is like, don't get me wrong, I've got him, so I was well happy that that went in. But it's like, you know what he's going to do. He gets in those positions, he shifts it on his left, and he'll curl it past it. Yeah. You know he's going to do it.
Yeah.
Don't let him go on his left foot.
I know, but they
did. And they just backed off, let him have space, and he's like, all right, I'll do my trademark finish that I'm brilliant at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's totally. Just such stupid defending. And then the Norgaard goal is like, that's just... just basic, like a snuck in with a header out of nowhere. And then, you know, I'm actually pleased to see Carvalho getting the goal. Brentford, though, I've got Mbeumo. Many have got Vissa. There was a little bit of narrative about, was that an assist or not? I personally didn't think it was an assist. You Vissa owners can do one. I didn't think that was an assist at all.
It's not an assist. I didn't touch it. I don't understand what's going on.
Just be happy with your goal.
Everyone's won't mention a lot this week.
But what are we saying about Brentford? Let's have a look at Brentford's fixtures. It's Everton and Villa, both at home next, before Bournemouth away in 29. So it's a difficult game in 29. But it was the games like Leicester, like Everton at home, like Villa at home, that I bought Mbeumo in a couple of weeks ago. And he hadn't really shown me much until this game week.
But if
you've got
didn't...
to stick with him, right? If you've got him.
Oh, if you've got him, you absolutely stick. But I don't. And I don't think I'm going there. Because Everton defensively... they've improved.
Yeah, don't disagree.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
After that is Villa, who... I mean, they talk about Jekyll and Hyde, Villa, at the moment. Even within a game, they're Jekyll and Hyde at the moment. But I do
Villa's
think...
Villa's Champions League fixture going to be around that one.
It'll be around...
I don't know, but they are going to have...
Yes, it will, because midweek they've got Everton.
Yeah.
Then it's the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Which Villa are still in.
Yeah, yeah.
Then Villa will have Champions League. Then they'll have Brentford. And then they'll have Champions League.
So in a world where they've got Everton at home, I hear you, Everton are improving, but yeah, Brentford are decent as well. And then a Villa team with a very busy schedule, including back-to-back games against Bruges.
Yeah, 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 no, I get it.
I actually would be looking at them to get them in if I didn't have them.
I just think for me... I'm looking at the fixtures because in reality, it's three games, right? So I'm looking at 27, 28, 29. I don't care about 30. I'm wildcarding.
Sure.
So three games. Who can I buy in those three games that's got the form and an attractive fixture run? And now, absolutely, Brentford have the form. They do. Apart from when Spurs beat them, but, you know, just saying, George.
That was unnecessary.
So just have to have a little dig.
That was very unnecessary.
George was like,
bloody Spurs fans, you get a few wins and all of a sudden, I have to have a little dig at George
because
Spurs fans.
George has spent the last few weeks just constantly asking when Postecoglou is going to get sacked. So I have to just have a little dig at him every now and then. When I'm looking, by the way, I haven't completely ruled out dancing with Brian. However,
glad to hear it.
However, I just think that there's a few more fun picks that I could go to for the next few weeks, like Bowen, that I might just go to instead.
All right, okay. I'm going to stick with tried and tested Brian.
Yeah, but you've
I'm
got him. I think that's different.
I'm happy to have him. And less said about them, the better. Just target them because they are all over the place.
Yeah, target them. West Ham.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely. Everton 2, Man U 2. What are we saying about this game?
I just don't understand this game at all. Like, Everton felt like they were coasting. They're 2-0 up.
Yeah. Cheapest striker in the game, Beto, gets another goal.
Beto is living the dream. He's suddenly peak, I don't know, Messi. That's not really a good analogy. But Beto's playing well. He scores the goals, fine. But then they let Man U back in it.
Man United are crap, though, aren't they? I mean, what are Everton doing? If it was, I mean, they did let United back in. Bruno was absolutely, he dropped a generational stinker. I thought he was absolutely terrible. And then he pops up with a free kick and an assist.
Which he does, though.
And he does it. That's Bruno Fernandes all over, right? He's just, when he can be bothered, he's great. But let's not spend any time on it. I'm not going to be touching either of these teams, are you?
No, probably not.
Have a look at the fixtures.
Everton's aren't bad.
Everton are going away to Brentford, away to Wolves, and then West Ham at home in 29.
It's not terrible.
It's not amazing.
It's not terrible for Beto.
Man United have got Ipswich next, and they have got Leicester away in 29.
I'm not getting any United players.
I'm not getting any United players.
The only one you can get is Bruno, in my opinion.
Yeah, and he's a bit expensive for me.
He's a bit expensive.
Let's move on. What else to discuss? Bournemouth 0, Wolves 1. Let's do that one quickly. Cunha on radar?
Yeah, but okay. Yes. Yes. But this game, I do feel like, if Zabani isn't sent off, does this game finish like this? Like, I think this could be, it's one of those, isn't it, where you kind of go, oh, I'm sewn up with my Bournemouth assets. But then Zabani's got a red card and it does throws everything out of whack a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. I still thought Wolves were good value for the win, to be fair.
You've got a kind of spot free, haven't you?
What, for Cunha?
Yeah. If you sold Gakpo.
If I sell Gakpo. Yeah, if I sell Gakpo. He's got to be the one to go because the other two I've got are Isak and Wood. Now, I need Wood for 29, so he's not going anywhere. So, do I sell Isak? Well, I don't want to do that.
Value.
For that and the fact he's a damn good player on any given day, he can get a couple of goals. So, I don't really want to sell any of my front three, really. I think I'd like to keep Gakpo. But again, I've got a similar situation to you where Gakpo is going to go at some stage.
It's and around just, the Southampton game, the Champions League that we talked about before.
Then I've got that. And then, so I need a bit of a... I need something from Slot ahead of Tuesday that says he's going to start, really. Mm. And if he is, then I keep him. Then I need something that says he's going to play against Southampton and I keep him.
I don't know if you're going to get that from Slot.
No, I don't think so either. But I can't take any of that front three out for Cunha as much as I would like to.
I might in 29.
Yeah.
Because I've got Cunha
in 29 could happen.
Yeah, because I can go Mateta. I can't take Mateta out at the moment.
No.
But I could ahead of 29, but then going into 30, what the hell am I doing? The front line's a nightmare.
And he's the only one, I think, from Wolves.
The only one.
Don't see anybody else. Bournemouth mids, you've got Housen at the back. Got anybody? You've got a Dango or you've got a Cliver, anybody like that?
No.
I still think they're good picks. If you've got, you obviously hold. And
yeah, the question I have now, though, is 2 weeks ago when I wanted to get one of them and I couldn't because I was locked in on the doublers... fine, but now do I still go for a Dango or a Cliver or a Semenyo?
Brighton, Spurs both away and then Brentford at home in 29 for Bournemouth. It still looks all right.
It's fine, but it's
still a good team.
I don't disagree with anything you've just said, but I'm also thinking, is now the wrong time? Do I now just hold my Huijsen pick and instead go for more picks with nicer fixtures?
The other thing to say is that I think a lot of FPL managers this week are going to be looking for a Rodgers exit plan, right? Because he picked up a bit of a knock. There's a bit of a, more than a bit of a doubt about him.
Yeah, he's going
ahead of the
well.
Palace game. And then we've already discussed the fact that Villa have got tricky looking Club Bruges last 16 Champions League around the Brentford game. Then of course they blank and then many of us will be wildcarding. So I am considering Rodgers to Dango. No doubt about it. I don't have the money to go to Cliver, but Rodgers to Dango, Otara could happen.
See, I have the money to go to any of them now because of my assistant manager money.
In the money.
So I could go there. But I'm also like, I don't know, Lee. It feels really... I could just go for someone else a little bit different instead. For the
and as the chat are quite rightly saying, good shout Mo here and good shout Henry. Evan Nilsson back on the bench for Bournemouth this weekend. So does he come back? And if he's fit, does he play? Does that mean Dango Ouattara doesn't play? You know, there's some question marks there now as well. So that is a good point, guys. That is a good point. Let's just finish up with some of these games. What have we not done? Oh, we haven't done Glasner, have we? And then Glasner and Mateta and bloody Munoz.
But I feel really upset about Mateta.
Why? Offside's offside. Doesn't matter if you're a knee or a whisker or a toenail.
I'm not upset about the offside decision. I'm just annoyed because he should have got... He gets five. But really, he should have got so... He was so good again in this game.
Yeah.
He's a beast at the moment.
He is a beast.
And I don't know how he's not got another double-digit haul. Like, honestly, the man is he's so good at the moment. And he goes into this game in midweek, again, staying as a differential for me, a bit like Munoz is for you if you've got him.
Yeah.
Because nobody could go there unless they're free hitting in 29. Like, so every time he misses something, I think, oh, Mateta.
Mm.
Like, come on.
You're right, though. I mean, he's a whisker offside with that offside. And if that goes in, then it's a goal and assist, probably free bonus. And you're laughing again with him. He is in beast mode right now, no doubt. And I think we sat here a few weeks ago and said, yep, he's in beast mode, but no one's going to get him because he blanks in 29. But you got ahead of that and got him in and just loving the points. And
so
as we said at the beginning, right, if you have if you had Glasner this week, that 20 points is going to, with the table bonus, is going to feel very, very nice indeed. Munoz popped up for another double-digit haul for his owners, unless you're a muppet like me and benched him. One day, I'm pretty sure, I will play Munoz and he will get me some points. I just fancied Fulham. I just thought they're good at home, Fulham. So it was a 50-50. Do I play Robinson or do I play Munoz? I just got it wrong. It is what it is. Sometimes they go for you and sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Anything else to discuss? Villa 2, Chelsea 1? We done that?
We haven't done that. This one's actually, Villa are quite interesting because I think if you invested in Watkins last week, you obviously got the two goals in the double, great. And most people did it as a sacrifice for Isak. But Isak's immediately countered that this week with the brace. Moving forward, I think you've now got a bit of an issue, haven't you? Because I'd far rather have Isak than I would Watkins.
You're bang unlucky with Watkins as well this week. He's second for XG underachievers amongst all players with a delta of 0.81. So definitely should have had something this week. A bit of an underwhelming performance from Rodgers and now got the knock, as we suggested before. If anything, it's the new boys. Obviously, it's Asensio and it's Rashford. But like I say, we're not going to be talking too much here because they blank in 29.
No,
so you're not bringing in anybody new, are you?
But don't you almost think that it's perfect? Because you can sell Morgan Rodgers now and then you've got 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 27 and 28, where you can watch Asensio and Rashford and around the Champions League. And then, when we're all wildcarding in 30, is the perfect moment for picking one of those. And by that point, they'll both be fully match fit and both be ready to play 90 minutes all the time because they'll have had that minutes in their legs thing. I think it's almost the perfect scenario with Villa to invest in them for the last part of the season from 30, but you're not doing it right now.
That's a couple of bonus points for Rashford to go with his, I think, 3 last week as well. So he's... He's bang on it. He looks like
just
he
wants
to
play football,
prove people wrong, and he's got the bit between his teeth. I think he's going to do well. Chelsea, though, we should discuss briefly because it's Southampton and Leicester both at home next. And then although it's being highlighted as a red fixture here in 29, it's Arsenal away, which is a game where anything can happen. We've seen that in the past. Southampton and Leicester both at home for Chelsea. The thumbnail has got Mr. Palmer on it, where we're talking about do we keep, hold or buy Palmer. You're not selling him, are you, ahead of them two? Absolutely no chance.
You can't. How can you sell him? Like, I understand why people are frustrated. I'm frustrated with him. It's very annoying. And it's made more annoying by the fact that he's 11-odd million. Like, if he's 6 million, like he was last season, you're probably going, come on, Cole.
If we were sitting around needing the money, like if Haaland was still a factor for us, I think people would have sold a lot more heavily by now.
Probably right. You're probably right. But I just think that you can't sell ahead of Southampton Leicester because the one thing about Chelsea right now, well, always with Palmer, is they're never going to... He's not going to be benched. He's always going to start. The issue I have with them is the way that they are set up and the way that they are playing.
No Jackson, no party, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have major issues with it. But equally, it's Southampton and Leicester and a fixture in 29. So for me, Palmer's going to stay. The bigger question is, when I get to my wild card, if he isn't returned against Southampton and Leicester...
Question mark.
There's a big question mark at that point.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I agree. All right, Sam. Those are the games. Let's discuss our sleeper pick'em winner, because we can do the winner here tonight because we are at the end of a game week, so we can talk about...
God, I don't know how I got on.
We can talk about the winners. While you're seeing how you got on, I got on terribly this week, by the way. The less said about that, the better. But if you haven't downloaded the Sleeper app yet, go to @sleeperfooty over on Twitter or X or Blue Sky or wherever you do your social mediaing nowadays. For those of you that have been with us for most of the season, you'll know that Sleeper are big in the America market, big into fantasy NFL, fantasy NBA, all that sort of good stuff. And they're trying to make us a dent in the FPL market here in the UK by partnering with us content creators. And they've given us a few quid to do that, which means that we can give away lots of nice prizes to all of you guys in the community. There's no... you haven't got a there's no betting involved here. There's no kind of crypto or anything like that goes on. You've only got to go and download the app at Sleeper Footy, get in there every single week and decide who you think is going to win the games. You haven't got to pick a player or anything like that, or pick the goal scorers or even the exact score, just who you think is going to win, which team win, lose or draw. And those of you that get, usually to win it you need to guess about 8 or 9 correct out of 10, and if you get 10 out of 10 you've got a pretty good chance of winning. And every week we'll pick a winner, and there's $100 up for grabs every single week just for downloading the app absolutely for free, guessing some of the outcomes of the games and seeing how you get on. Now this week, Sam,
how many did you get?
I got 3.
Oh,
absolute stinker this week with 3.
I got 5. I thought that was bad.
Well done with your 5. My 3 is pretty terrible, but 2 winners so far, not so far, 2 winners this week, Sam. Kane 1095 and Arne Slot.
Oh no. Oh no.
Now that means
the wheel's coming,
isn't
it?
The wheel.
Oh god, guys.
Is back. Hello.
Guys,
to the
I'm
wheel.
So sorry.
You wanted it. You asked for it. Here.
Nobody
is
wants
the
this.
The wheel.
No one wants this.
This is the famous FPL family wheel. We've got the 2 winners, Kane and Arne Slot in.
Is it actually Arne Slot? I'd love it if it is.
It's actual Arne Slot is in, Sam. We're going to see who's going to win. Is it going to be Kane 1095? Is it going to be Arne Slot? We're going to find out.
It looks rubbish as well. Look at it.
Shut up. It's not Arne Slot. It's Kane.
Kane 1095.
Congratulations to Kane 1095. You are this week's sleeper pick'em winner. So $100 worth of Amazon vouchers will be coming its way to you, sir or madam, and we'll be in touch. We'll be in touch about how you get your Amazon voucher. So congratulations. Very, very good indeed.
3 wins on the bounce for us in Sleeper now.
And in the draft of legends, we have just won 3 in a row. We've beaten Holly Shan this week, haven't we?
Spurs and Liverpool, innit?
You will be shocked to hear, guys, that our sleeper draft of legends draft has got so many Spurs players.
Which is why we've been crap all season. Sorry.
But now Spurs have had an uptick in form.
Hang on.
We've had that many Spurs. We've got Brennan Johnson. We've got Son.
Yeah, and Mateus Tell.
We've got the whole strike force. We've got Spurs front three.
But
if Spurs don't score goals, we're in trouble.
But we've also got...
We haven't got many Spurs. We've got the front three.
We've got McAllister. Yes. Trent. And Alisson. So we are level pegging. It's not like I've gone, oh, let's just get all of Spurs and no Liverpool.
Okay, I'll give you that. But I'm glad Spurs have had an uptick of form in the last 3 weeks because it's meant back-to-back-to-back wins for us. But are we up there now?
We're fifth.
Didn't we beat the General the other week? And he's walking it, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, he's lost 2 in a row now because Gianni beat him this week. Yeah, yeah.
Come on, Gianni.
So actually, it was quite interesting at the top because General lost and Mate, who's in second, also lost. So, you know.
Did Dan lose as well?
Yeah. Ooh. So now we're actually tied with Andy. So we're actually.
Let's talk.
Yeah, so we're just behind on points scored. But we've got the same amount of wins.
Come on.
If we can win next week, let's have a look who we're playing midweek. Bakar.
How's he getting on?
Hang on, we'll go back to the league. He is behind us, just behind us in the league.
It's going to be a tight one, isn't it? He's got Erling, isn't he? That's his problem.
Has he?
He's well. I mean, we had first.
He has got Erling
when we had the draft. His first pick.
He's also
Erling.
Got Morgan Rogers, who's obviously, you know, a bit of a doubt.
Fancius.
He's got. Fancius. He's got Gravenberch. He's got. Oh, he's got Pedro Porro.
All right. Okay.
I fancy us.
All right.
Oh, he benched Munoz this week.
What does he? Who'd do that?
Who does that?
Right. Thanks for that. Right. So that's Sleeper at Sleeper Footy over on X. Go and download the app. Get involved
he's
with
got the double Spurs defense.
Draft of Legends. Get involved with the FPL family Sleeper Pick'ems as well. And I should probably chuck this up here, shouldn't I? Here we go. That's how you get involved. Scan the QR code.
Ooh.
Get involved with that. There
remember that for the Pick'ems, we haven't mentioned this for a while, but we are still giving away. Whoever wins overall Pick'ems for the whole season will win 2 hospitality tickets for a team of your choice in the Premier League next season.
Yeah, I'd stop mentioning that because the people that got in game week one have got the best chance of winning that, haven't they?
Well, they have, but you know, what I'm saying is if you're in it, don't give up.
Got to be in it to win it.
Because I know that, like, absolutely. Helen, who's one of our patrons, has been right up there all season.
Yeah. And the George rest as well, he's doing well.
Is he up there as
Wilco's
well?
Wilco's doing all right, I think.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because if Wilco wins, he's taking you to Liverpool, right?
I was doing all right. I'm now not. But, you know.
But, yeah, don't give up, because 2 hospitality tickets.
Speaking of, I was doing all right and now I'm not, here's my FPL team for the week. Red Arrow again, thanks to the
it's
ass man.
It's only small again though, Lee.
It is
small.
And you know, I've been on this damage limitation thing for a few weeks and damage has been limited again. So 77, a pretty below average crap kind of score, down to 366. So the last 3 weeks I've had 3 Red Arrows and I've gone from 240-odd K to 360. So the ass man's cost me about 120. So I've been holding my own, to be honest, but it's been hard work.
Imagine
it's been really, really hard work. Well, and there it is. You know, I mean, all I've got to do is just be on the right side of that 50-50 with Robinson and Munoz. Mm. And instead of 77, I'm on 89. Mm. And then it's a very deep, well, not very, but it's more, much more respectable.
So this is the climb time.
Well, I'm hoping, yeah, because so I've got 2 free transfers in the bank.
What are you going to do?
Well, I don't know yet. I don't know.
You've only got till Tuesday to decide.
I know, and I might not do anything. I've looked at my bus team, and it looks fine, right? It looks fine. Gakpo to Cunha, maybe. But
okay.
I fancy Gakpo to start against Newcastle.
Not Rodgers
quite well. Rodgers to Ouattara, maybe. But as Evan the chat's Nilsson. Already said, you know, Evan Nilsson's back, and maybe that affects him. So maybe, maybe not. So I could just bench Rodgers and let it ride for another game week and have then 3 in the bank to do your stuff with, right? Mm. So I don't think I'm going to do anything at the minute. I'm reasonably okay with it. I don't like the fact I'm going to have Chris Wood against Raya and Gabriel next week. I don't like that at all. And Wanyeri against Forest. I know they've just conceded 4 against Newcastle, but you know, maybe they do find some space in behind, and maybe Wanyeri is the player to exploit that. But I still don't think
he's a bad pick, though.
And he's cheap as hell, right? So he's there, and I hope he does all right. So, yeah, 77 points this week. Really, it was Mbeumo that sort of kept it respectable. I nearly captained him, you know.
I know you
close.
Did.
I was pretty close. And
right
in the end,
decision, though, to go Salah, wasn't it?
Same. They both got 14.
Oh, did they both?
Both got 14. So, in the end, it's, you know,
wouldn't
they both got a goal and assist, clean sheet and some bonus. So, it wouldn't have mattered.
But it would have ruined your weekend had Mbeumo not done well. And that was the key.
Well, I don't like to make my FPL picks on those basis, but yeah, that's why I did it.
I know.
Because if I go into Friday and Mbeumo blanks against Leicester,
yep,
I'm fuming for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
It's ruining my whole weekend. So, but I didn't do it. In the end, he got me to 14. I was pretty happy with that. And then Mo went and matched him. So it was kind of much of a muchness. Isak, 13, great. But he's 89% EO, so it doesn't matter. Same with Wood, really. Although his EO is a little bit less. The Trent 6-pointer is pretty good. But outside of that, it is nothing. Robinson, 1 point. Gabriel and Raya, 2 and 2. Wanyeri, 2. Palmer, 2. Crap, really. It's crap. It was that 50-50, Robinson and Munoz. Had I played either one of Hall or Munoz rather than Robinson, it would have been a much better game week and probably a small green rather than a small red. But we are where we are. We're at 366K. It's not where I want to be. I've still got the assistant manager to play. I'm hoping if that's worth 20 to 30 to 35 points, then that'll be a decent rank boost as we go along. The next couple of game weeks, as we said before, or as I said this time last week, it's about consolidating now. It's about getting out of this Red Arrow malaise, this assistant manager malaise of the last 3 weeks. We can all stop talking about it now and we can get on with playing FPL properly for the next couple of weeks. Hopefully this pissing Chip doesn't come back next year and we can start playing FPL properly again. And then from game week 30, I'm going to start going on the offensive. That's when it's wild card and it's ass man and it's free hit and then bench boost.
Okay.
And from 30 onwards, we go on the offensive. But the last 3 weeks have been pain. It's been awful. It's been red arrows. I've lost about 120k in rank. I've hated it. It's swingy. It's annoying. We're not going to say another word about it. 77 points for me. 78 points for you with the assistant manager active. 291k. So 1,755 points. Tell us about your week.
Yeah. I think it was one of those where I honestly... Lee will tell you, I didn't know what to do. I got myself in a right 2-8 by the end of the week, I think. And I just felt like I didn't know whether to sell Diaz. I didn't know whether to sell Rodgers. As it happens, if I'd have sold Rodgers, it would have been for Dango because that's all I could have afforded.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything either, so fair. If I'd have sold Luis Diaz, it would have been for Cliver. So I was 1 point better off by sticking with Cliver over over Luis Diaz. The Vandenberg thing is what stopped me doing the Glasner thing because I thought I just can't risk 29 becoming a massive issue because it only takes another injury somewhere along the lines.
Of course, yeah.
And
We're on thin ice with our transfers.
They're so important. So the assistant manager I stayed...
Has any bit of you thought about free hitting in 29?
No. Yes, I have thought about it and then categorically ruled it out.
Okay.
I just don't think that it's worth it because for me, having already sold Lewis Hall, I'm not in a place where I could delay a wild card on the basis of free hitting. I think if you free hit, if you've already used your wild card, then I think free hitting in 29 makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you haven't and you've still got the wild card left, given that by the time we get to 29, we're going to know what 34 looks like, give or take, because the FA Cup will have been played.
Agree. Yes, agree.
I just don't see the value in free hitting in 29. I know Gianni thinks he's probably going to do it that way, and Fair enough.
Yeah, it's team dependent. Absolutely. For everybody, right? Yeah,
but for my team, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think I'm a little bit cautious as well, given that last year, when I played the free hit chip, do you remember? It went so badly wrong. We all got like no points because Spurs lost to Fulham unexpectedly. And we had...
Yeah, I remember.
It was just a disaster. I think I got like 13 points or something stupid. And so for me, I want to use the free hit as... productively as possible.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't feel like 29 is going to be that for me. So moving into mid, like I'm a little bit frustrated because obviously I've had a chip active and to get a red arrow and a chip active week is not great, but I didn't have any Brentford, which was already a problem on Friday evening. When the Arsenal double clean sheet goes,
It's painful, isn't it?
It's a problem.
Yeah.
It's always a problem because there were a lot of other defenders, goalkeepers particularly this week, that were quite heavily owned. The Hendersons, the Fleckens, who kept clean sheets. So when Raya doesn't and you've doubled him up with another Arsenal defender, it does hurt in terms of the rank gain isn't as much. But all in all, the
all
assistant...
expecting an Arsenal clean sheet at home to Mark West Ham, aren't we?
We were
expecting it, yeah.
All in all, the... Arsenal, the assistant manager has been a success, I think. I think having come out of it with table bonus twice from Moyes and Emery, so what, 22 and 14, so 36 for them, added another 8 from Emery again this week, so 44, that feels like a reasonable return. I'm happy with that. I am happy with that, so that's good. Going into next week then, I would love to be able to go from Morgan Rodgers to Jarrod Bowen, but I'm 0.9 short of being able to do that.
Oh, not even close then.
So not even close. Mm. So I would have to sell Luis Diaz to do that, which, as discussed... No, I'm not listening to all of your Luis Diaz nonsense again, because I listened to it last... Like, everybody goes, oh, Luis Diaz, can't sell... Like, no, apart from that one game...
The disrespect on Luis Diaz here
apart
is unreal.
From that one
you got
game,
about 200k rank rise out of him last game week. You can
yeah, then
off.
He got benched and got 1 point in the second game. I'm not being funny, but
unbelievable.
I have been
unbelievable.
I've been so loyal to that man. I have loved him.
And he repaid you with a 13-pointer. Gave what? You a 300k rank rise when no one else had him on a 7% EO differential.
I'm not being funny.
The disrespect.
That is not enough.
The disrespect
it's
on
not
Diaz.
Enough.
Unbelievable.
It's not enough, Leroy Brown.
It's not
really
what do you
not.
Want?
He's
what
he's do you want? Not regularly returning. He's now a big doubt because Gakpo's back.
No hit.
Luis
Diaz
has
not gone in the summer. You give over.
He's gone
give
now.
Over.
He's getting the February transfer window still open in FPL. He's on his way. His bags are packed. I say thank you for the memories. I really like him.
You're going to get rid of Diaz ahead of Newcastle and Southampton at home for what, Bowen?
Yeah. Probably.
Wow.
So I think I'm going to do two transfers this week and sell both Luis Diaz and Morgan Rogers.
All right.
Clear the decks for 29. If I can do a better transfer this week, the thing is that Bowen's got Leicester. So if I'm going to invest in,
true, yeah.
If I'm going to invest in Bowen, it's got to be now.
It is now.
It's
yes.
got to be now.
Yes.
I'm not doing Bowen next week. It's got to be this. It's got to be now. So, and I think I want him. I've got a Bowen-shaped itch. I think I need to scratch it.
It's just the Leicester game, isn't it? Like, he's playing fine and West Ham are doing all right under Potter, but it's just because it's Leicester. People are just like, yeah, they're going to get smashed. And they probably will.
Because well, they'll go 1-0 down and then they'll collapse again.
Yeah, they did do a good job against Arsenal, to be fair to them. All right, well, that's it. 78 points this week. A small red, down 7%, but up to 291k. So, you know, all good.
I think, yeah, all good. All good. The climb's been on. The assistant manager's gone well. We've just got to now make sure that the next few weeks pays off, and that's starting with Jarrod Bowen.
Are you looking forward to not having to think about the assistant manager chip anymore?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, must be. You can start playing the actual game now rather than the mini game all the time.
Yeah, you say that, but I don't think I spent that much time thinking about it. It was like, right, I'm going Moyes. Oh, the only manager with a double.
Like
the only manager with a double is Emery. Oh, I'm going there then.
Yeah.
And then this week it was a bit more thought. It was, do I stick with Emery or do I use a transfer? But it wasn't. I wasn't thinking a lot about other managers. I was just thinking about the transfer. So, yeah. I think you're hating on it way too much. I think when you get there and you play it, you won't hate on it as much.
Oh, I'm sure.
I quite enjoyed it. I've had quite a lot of fun with it. It's been interesting. It looks a bit weird now. I don't have an assistant manager sat in my screen. Like, that's a bit odd. Got used to him sitting there smiling at me. I kind of wish I'd gone Postecoglou just for the fun of it. But yeah.
All right.
We are where we are.
Well, I think it's way too swingy. It's way, way, way too swingy. Imagine going like Van Nistelrooy this week and not doing Glasner. I mean, that's a
20
a
points.
Real 50-50. 20-point swing. A chip that can deliver 56 points is way too powerful. It's way too powerful. Anyway, enough of that nonsense. Tell the people, good people, that are still with us, Sam. And to be honest, Sam, there are 674 people in. Guys,
wow.
Thank you for joining us. Welcome. Leave us a like before you go. But before you do, what's come up this week?
Busy week. Busy, busy. I feel like I say that every week.
Every week's busy.
It's a busy week.
Every week.
You've
got to fire somebody at FPL for missing the deadline. Got to rock up to that office tomorrow. Who missed the deadline? Which intern didn't press the buttons and close the game week?
What do you think happens? Do you think they lock someone in a cupboard and go, right, as soon as it hits 6:30, boys, press that button? That's not how it works.
Well, they don't have a person locking the game week. It's all automated, I get it. But what? Something didn't work in the automation this week.
Imagine if there's just like a little raccoon in the cupboard or something pressing a button. Oh, it missed
what
it.
Would be a raccoon?
I don't know. I don't even know why a raccoon came out. It'd be in Australia. He's on the other side of the world. He's missed the deadline.
Raccoons are not native to Australia.
Where are they from?
I don't fucking know, but not. Why has there got to be a raccoon?
Hang on a minute. You can't say that I'm the problem for not monetizing this stream when you've sworn multiple
it's
times.
It's a stupid enough idea to say that there's a guy that presses the button to close the game. Why has a raccoon got to be involved?
I don't know.
The raccoons are just in Australia, just with their little hats.
Do they
with
in Australia?
They've all got the little hats with the little...
What's native to Australia then? A koala. Maybe there's a koala in the cupboard pressing the button. Anyway, or a sloth. That's why they missed it. The sloth was so slow.
Wow.
He thought he had until 12. He thought he had until
11. Can you shut up and get with it?
On Saturday morning.
Oh my God.
But he didn't. He had to get
raccoons, native to Australia, folks. You heard it here first.
What are we doing this week? Two, Lee. Two, I tell you. Official FPL pods this week. One of them
Excellent.
In the morning. That Frenchman's back from his holiday.
Okay.
I don't think he'll want to be, given his game week.
Oh, is he had a mare, is he?
He bought him Tell.
Oh, that's unlucky.
Yeah. Should have bought him.
4 goals, no involvement. That is unlucky.
He won't be happy. He'll be blaming Spurs. And Arsenal lost. So, you know, he's not going to be happy, Bunny. I might ask him how he feels about Liverpool in the Champions League. See how that pans out as well.
He's got PSG, Liverpool.
You in one ear and him in the other. I'll have to leave. Maybe I'll go and join the raccoon in the cupboard.
In Australia.
So two FPL pods this week. One tomorrow to preview game week 27.
Yes.
And one on Thursday morning, as usual, to preview game week 20. No. What are we doing on Thursday?
What game are we
doing? About the FA Cup. We'll be doing a review style, probably talking more about 29, because then we'll be previewing game week 29 the week after. Oh my God, it's so many game weeks. Probably game week 28 the week after.
There's a couple of FPL pods this week. I'll also not feature a raccoon, but definitely a Frenchman.
I'll also be on the Q&A with Az on Thursday afternoon because, you know,
he's done well this week, isn't he? Did he Glasner, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, I think so.
Didn't have Chris Wood, though, did he?
Got away with that this week.
Yeah. So I'll be joining him on the Q&A on Thursday, and then I'm off to Spurs on Wednesday night.
Very nice, too. All right, that is it, folks. Thank you for joining us here tonight on FPL Family for this Game Week 26 review. We'll see you this time next week.
You, me and a raccoon? No, we won't. FA Cup weekend. We don't normally come on.
We're not going to talk about... Well, we should do like a pod or something, shouldn't we? To review 27.
Well, we can go live on Sunday, but we don't normally on an FA Cup weekend.
Yeah, okay, we might miss that. But look out for some either
we'll let podcasts or
voice notes. There'll definitely be Ohana as usual on Thursday, which will for sure be reviewing 27. But good luck in game week 27. Well done to all of you that have finished with the assistant manager chip. I cannot wait to play it in 31. I'm buzzing for it. I'm sure it'll be amazing.
Such a grumpy gear.
Hit the like button before you go.
Knock you up with a raccoon.
Hit the subscribe button before you go. And if you've got a raccoon knocking about, it can hit the subscribe button for you. All the way from Australia.
The podcasters can't see that we're hitting a button. Fake button.
Good podcast. Good podcast, as usual. Great content for the podcasters. That's it, guys. We're going to stop waffling. See you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.